And it's good to have some of our dear friends around. We've had quite a week. We're going to continue in our series on the Lord's Prayer. We haven't been getting that far, but that's okay. We've been methodically breaking down the model that Jesus gave us when his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, with that being said, we're going to kind of jump right in because the Lord's Prayer, and I know this is a challenge because some of us were taught, maybe we were taught as kids, and I don't want to say that that was a wrong teaching, but I just want to expand on it. You know, the Lord's Prayer is not just a group of words that if we say the group of words, as I started off this series, it's not like Aladdin rubbing a lamp and all of a sudden, boop, the genie shows up and does what we need him to do. The Lord's Prayer, if we say it and we just repeat the words, there's nothing magical, there's nothing powerful just in the words. In fact, it was a model. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus said this, pray then like this. Or in the King James, it said, pray in this manner. So it's not. So what he lays forth then is a pattern or a framework. In fact, Martin Luther in 1535 wrote a small booklet for his barber. He was talking with his barber, who was a close friend of his, and his barber asked him, how can I teach me a simple way to pray? And Martin Luther wrote a book about the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Apostles' Creed, and said, hey, we can put these together, and they're a framework to launch you into prayer. In fact, he likened the Lord's Prayer as a flint and steel to kindle a flame in the heart. How many of you guys like those, like the survival shows, like Survivor Man or Man versus Wild? Anybody like those shows? I guess I'm the only person. I enjoy those shows because the first thing they try to do is create fire, and they're always watching, and it's amazing how they can get a spark and create fire, and then the fire keeps them warm, or they can cook food or whatever. But the Lord's Prayer should be like a flint and a steel to be able to spark something and to take off. And so it's something important for us. In fact, Luther goes on in this booklet to say, what a pity that such a prayer by such a master, and listen to the words that Luther uses, should be babbled and gabbled so thoughtlessly throughout the world. Man, someone was having a bad day. Babbled and gabbled so thoughtlessly throughout the world. In fact, Luther went on to describe the Lord's Prayer. Man, he's really coming down pretty hard. He said the Lord's Prayer was the greatest martyr for everybody tortures and abuses it. Okay, so here's the deal. You know, I read that and I kind of chuckled and laughed. And then all of a sudden I realized, you know, I've been guilty many times of doing just that. Many times of just kind of going through. And so he encouraged his barber to use it as a model, saying a phrase at a time, meditating, thinking about it, as a flint gets a spark and then it takes off. I have a small group. I have several small groups. And in one of my small groups, I was talking with a church member and a dear friend, and we were talking about applying the series. It's kind of what we do in our small groups, is the things that we talk about in the pulpit, how can we apply them into our lives? And so I was challenging him on the Lord's Prayer. He said, you'll never guess what happened. I started to pray the Lord's Prayer, and I literally did it. I just started thinking about a father, and I started talking to God like a father, and then the fact that he was in heaven, and I broke down each phrase, and all of a sudden I looked, and an hour had passed, and it felt like 5 minutes. And so that's why. And it's not a matter of the amount of time, it's the depth of connection. And the Lord's Prayer, Jesus was modeling how we can connect with the Father. So we've gone through several things, and that's my desire in my heart in this series. Today we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about verse 11. Let's all read this together. Give us this. Okay, let's try that again so we can all do it. Ready, ready? Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? Give us this day our daily bread. Well, I'm going to talk about several things today. I think there's an obvious meaning, and I'm not going to say that the obvious meaning is not a correct meaning. Hey, God, we have some needs, okay? But I think there's something a lot deeper. And so if you will allow me over the next 10, 15 minutes to maybe kind of look at it in some different ways and shed some light and perhaps some different perspective to deepen our understanding of what Jesus was talking about. Because what is daily bread? What if we're carb-free? What if we're gluten intolerant? And you know, are we talking stone ground? What is this daily bread that we need today? Because seriously, is he talking about food? Is he talking about an English muffin or a bagel? Or what is it today? Is it pita bread after after all, it's got to be unleavened, right? What is he going through? So bottom line is this, that God is our provider. In fact, if we look at the placement of this request portion of the Lord's Prayer, it's interesting to note where it's placed. Because in all honesty, how many of us are used to praying our prayer? If we were organizing the Lord's Prayer, it would sound something like this. Give us this day our daily bread, our Father who is in heaven. Is that the correct order? Is that the order that Jesus... You see, truly, truly, brothers and sisters, there is a reason for the order in which Jesus presents the Lord's Prayer as a pattern and a model. We begin with God as our Father. Not just our Father. And that should blow your mind that the God that created the universe. I loved my dear friend, Pastor Elvin. I just love that man. He's a dear friend. And he shared just one nugget from his sermon last week. I'd never thought of this. God is so awesome. He puts beautiful flowers in places where no one will ever, ever, ever see them. Isn't that cool? I loved that. I wrote him a note about that and said, I'm stealing that. That's just, but it's awesome. That's how awesome God is. And think of the universes. I love these. I'm kind of a space junkie. And so your pastor's saying he's a junkie. There you go. We're going to leave with that one. I love these pictures of the Hubble telescope when it's working, puts back. And I love some of the things of the beauty in the stars and the beauty in some of these nebulas and some of these different things. They're just astounding. Think about the wonders and the beauty that's in all of creation that we're never going to see. God created all that. It was not random. I do not believe in any way, shape, or form with the intricate, delicate balance of life that it's random. I believe it takes more faith to believe that than it does the understanding that there is a pattern and a plan, and all of creation displays the handiwork of God. He has a blueprint, there was a creator, he had a design, and he set it forth, and it still remains because of the power of his word. I believe that with all my heart. And so as I see that, I understand it's displaying something. And that same God that said, let there be, and there was, invites me to have a relationship with him, that I can talk to him just like I talk to you, just like I talk to any person around, that I can connect with him, that he loves me. I'm humbled at that. And when I think about that God, and he invites me as his child, that's enough. I'm serious. That I don't even want to ask him for anything because I'm just happy for that. And yet, many times we go to God as, give us this day our daily bread, my Father who is in heaven. No, there's a reason for the order. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Man, you are so worthy. There's no words that can display accurately what you are in the praise that you're worthy to receive. Your kingdom come. In other words, you're the king, I'm a member of your kingdom, and your will be done on earth and heaven. Your way, God, your way. Now, after I've prayed all that, what do you think my requests are really going to sound like? You see, if I understand it in the order that it was presented, that Jesus taught it, then right there, I'm already at a place I don't think I should ask God for anything. So now I can understand when he says, give us this day our daily bread, is that God, it's a counterbalance to where we really should be. Awestruck, humbled, on the floor, face down, saying, you're an amazing, awesome, reverend God. I can't do anything. And now he says, hey, talk to me about your everyday need. Isn't that awesome? Talk to me. God wants us to talk to him about our daily needs. Now, daily needs. Each day, each moment, everything that's going on. Why? Because he is our provider. He loves us, and he is a giving God. So he wants us to pray about the small stuff. Everybody say small stuff. He wants us to talk to him. He invites us to talk to him about the small stuff with the filter, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Once we've gone through the first things, once we have the first several lines of the Lord's Prayer, everything else is under that auspice. In other words, I'm going to ask for my daily bread underneath the auspices of Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and that he's my Father, and that he's in heaven, and that his name is worthy to be praised. How many selfish prayers am I going to offer up at that moment? It's pretty clear. Brothers and sisters, it's pretty clear. It is pretty clear. It's also amazing. Now, for just one moment, let me switch gears. Can I mess with you? Vera, can I mess with you? You got a birthday this week. Can I mess with you? Okay. Here's how I joke around. I love Vera. She's awesome. And I want to say happy birthday to you this week coming up. I hope you have a fantastic time. But we have some fantastic conversations where we kind of go back and forth about some things. And this blew my socks off. I have them back on today, so I've gotten better. I am guilty of praying this. Give me this day my daily bread. And that's not, everybody say not. It's not what Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us, give this day. Will you just let all the air out of my Macy's balloon now? Because here I thought, finally, we're going to talk about, well, no. In actuality, the word choice is give us this day our daily bread. Now, if we're already talking about being in part of his kingdom and for his kingdom to come and for his will to be done, does it mean that God doesn't want us to talk about our needs? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if we want to go a little bit deeper, we're going to understand that everything that we have has to do with the us and the our. And maybe if we got that as a motivating factor, our prayers would be a little different. In fact, Charles Spurgeon, one of my heroes, Charles Spurgeon said this about the duty and the calling of prayer, which I believe the Lord's Prayer is a call to action. I believe it's a call away from selfishness into the kingdom of God so that his kingdom would be established here on earth. And here's what Charles Spurgeon said about that, when people only are selfish in their prayers. He said, a prayerless church member is a hindrance. He is in the body. Now here's, he must have had a bad breakfast before he wrote this. He said, he is in the body like a rotting bone or a decaying tooth. How many of you have ever had a toothache? Did everything in your world stop when you had a toothache? Pretty much. I have a couple of crowns in my teeth, and I got a phone call one time that there was a dear church member that had a death in the family, and I was racing to get to the family, and I was like, man, I haven't had a chance to brush my teeth, so I had a mint, but it was kind of one of those sticky mints, and I put it in my mouth, and I crunched down, and I went to open it, and popped a crown off. On one of my front teeth. Thought like, hey, how are you doing? You know? Yeah. So I was like, okay. And it hurt. And I was like, oh man, I was real sensitive to the cold. I was like, what is with this? So I was trying to fake it till, you know, get in there. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. I'm trying to be compassionate at the same time. Just, you know, deal with what I needed to do. And quickly, the whole world stopped, and I pulled every favor I could to get somebody to meet me to put it back in there. Everything stopped when you've ever had a tooth that broke. You're like, whoa. If you have a decayed tooth, pretty much that becomes your priority now, doesn't it? It stops everything else. Here's what Spurgeon said. He said, before long, he said, a prayerless church member is a hindrance. He is in the body like a rotting bone or a decayed tooth before long, since he does not contribute to the benefit of his brethren. He will become a danger and a sorrow to them. Neglect of private prayer is the locust which devours the strength of the church. Man, in modern terms, that's a mic drop. I mean, he just came up. So prayer draws us away from our selfishness into a kingdom. So quick, three very, very quick thoughts this morning about God as our provider and the calling for us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Number one is this. Prayer is a transfer. Can anybody say transfer? Prayer, we as a society, we carry things we were never destined to carry. We carry stress, we carry anxiety, we carry fear. More than anything, if you look at statistics, you know, as far as like pharmaceutical companies, man, they are pumping out anti-anxiety medications at a staggering rate. It is like the new thing that's gripped our culture. We have gotten so fast-paced, everybody's connected 24/7, we're bombarded by information, we're taking all this stuff, and we have never learned that we're not destined to carry all this anxiety. Is anybody stressed out from time to time? I long for simpler days. They're like, oh, what happens if an EMP goes off and wipes out all the computers and cell phones? Yes, that would be terrible and that would be awful. But at the same time, I kind of long for simpler days. I love it when my cell phone breaks. I do. Sometimes I'll purposely put it in my front pocket and I'll lean over the water. I'm like, oh, just fall. Life would be so much simpler without this dumb thing ringing all the time. I get it. It's a necessary evil. Look what the prophet Isaiah says about your provider, your Father in heaven. This is what he says about him. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. In other words, there's stuff that you can't buy. There's stuff that you need, and you got no ability to get it. And he's saying this, hey, come. I remember when I would come back from college as a poor, broke college kid, I had a dear friend of mine who took me in and was helpful, and he'd always say, hey, let's go out to eat. And I was like, I don't have any money. He's like, oh, come on, it's on me. I love that guy. You know, don't you love that? Well, that guy's always say, "Hey, you know what? Well, I don't have my check, but well, it's okay. Come on, it's on me." That's what your Father in heaven. And that guy was like a father to me. And I never, ever, ever, he wouldn't ever let me pay for anything. He always would do it. And you know what? What a great image of God. You know what you need? Hey, come on. You know, it's on me. Come to me. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and do you labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me here that your soul may live. God wants us to know him as our supplier. Just like Abraham, you know, just like Abram, as he was called to offer Isaac, and you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And the angel of the Lord says, stay thy hand, look, and there's a ram caught in the thicket. Just as God provided for his need, God wants to provide for us. In fact, at that moment, Abram uses this word. He called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord is my provider. Charles Spurgeon once said this, true prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It's far deeper than that. It is a, listen to these words, it is a spiritual transaction with the creator of heaven and of earth. Why do we always try to do everything on our own? You know what? God said, come to him. The truth is, many of us, this is how we pray. We only pray about the big stuff because God's far too busy for us to trouble him with the small stuff. You know what? God's really, you know, he's got to keep everybody in line. I don't want to hassle him with the little stuff. Guess what? If that, brothers and sisters, if you're here today or if you're visiting today and you think that God is so busy doing all the important stuff that he doesn't care about your small stuff, you need to change your God concept because it's incorrect. That means you have a small picture of the Almighty God. If he can number the hairs on your head, and for some of us here, that's not a big deal, I get it, but for the bottom line is if he understands every intricate detail, he knows every thought, every intent, everything that's going on with your life, he wants us to talk with him about the small stuff. And I dare say, if we talk with him about the small stuff and transfer those things, we'd have money in our account when the big stuff hit. Anybody here ever overdraw their checking account? And you had to make a transfer into your account. Well, if we would keep the transferring coming, we might be prepared for that. So our daily bread is not just physical food, or Jesus would have said it. It's all of our needs, our mental, our physical, our emotional, and we're supposed to pray to our provider because the King takes care of His kingdom, and He wants us to talk to Him about our needs, and to talk is a transfer. And maybe we're going to find, like the Apostle Paul, he went to God repeatedly and said, "Take this thorn in my flesh away." He went to the Lord, "Oh, take it away," and there was a transfer. The thorn was not removed. But he was given grace, and this word that says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Brothers and sisters, about the small stuff and about the medium stuff and even about the big stuff, take it to the Lord in prayer, and there's a transfer that happens. We take our needs to the foot of the cross, and Jesus gives us, he transfers something into our being. Prayer is a transfer. Second point, prayer is a test. How many of you love tests? Now that we're getting close to semesters, and I talk to people, "Hey, how's school going?" "Oh, we still got finals left." And there's such a relief after that. But prayer is a test, and don't think of a test in a negative sense of the word. Think of it as a positive, as in refining. Now, I wrote this sermon several weeks ago, and as I wrote it, I came to this place, and I kept thinking, "Lord, daily bread, what does this mean?" And I was immediately drawn to the book of Exodus, as many people believe that this comment, "daily bread," is referring to or is symbolic of. And this is a time in Israel's history where they were, I would say praying, but they're not, they're actually whining to God that they were hungry. They were wandering in the wilderness. They were calling out, "Hey, why'd you call us out here? We have real needs. What are you going to do for us?" And here's what God said in Exodus 16, 4 and 5, dropping down then to 6 and 7. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I'm about to rain,'" what? "Bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion." How often? How often? "That I may do" what? "Whether they will walk in my law or not." Jumping down to verse 6. "And evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord." So they were told to go out. How often? Now, with the exception of right before the Sabbath, they were to gather 2 days' portions because they were to rest on the Sabbath. And remember that. But it was a every day, it was a constant, consistent walk of obedience and faith in God. Constant and consistent. And this was a test. You see, brothers and sisters, I believe that prayer for us is also a test. That God's got some provision. He's got some miracle. And prayer lets us know, do we really believe that He's going to be our provider? Because as I said a moment ago, we don't like to bother God with the small stuff. And when we don't have Him prove Himself in the small stuff, that's why I think it catches us off guard on the big stuff. I'm thankful that I'm helpless. And that's hard to say, because I'm a very, very stubborn, I've got it in my family, I'm independent, I don't want to ever rely on anybody. I don't. It truly makes me discomforted to rely on people. You know what? I've recognized God is my provider, and that's good, because He does a better job than I can do. So He tests our motives. Are we going to be greedy and try to get too much? Well, that doesn't work, because when they did that with the manna, it spoiled. Are they going to be lazy and not gather nothing, then grow hungry? So we are to trust God each day. God has daily bread for you, and He wants each day for you to walk in that provision. Jesus is referring to that. Give us this day our daily bread. This is a walk that He has stuff, and we are to walk in faith and obedience. Dropping down to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, they're reflecting upon why He did this. "And He humbled you," Moses is saying, "and He let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone." Wait a minute here. So He just said He's going to supply bread for us each and every day. But by the way, you don't live by bread alone. He goes on to say, "But man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Who brought you water out of the flinty rock," dropping down to verse 15, "who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God. So here's my point here. It's a test, because your needs, God let them hunger so that they could know him as a provider. You know what? God allows things to happen in our lives. I wish that life was just smooth sailing. It ain't going to be smooth sailing. You are going to encounter difficult times. And here's why. Not because God doesn't like you, because he loves you and he wants you to know that he's got it under control. That's the truth, brothers and sisters. Our need for daily bread helps us know God. Daily bread, though, is more than just our physical needs. And I know this has been a rough week. We've had a lot of death this week. And a lot of us have needs in our bodies. And a lot of us want to have, you know, physical healing, or we have different things. But guess what? Any healing that we get in our bodies is only temporary, because unless the Lord comes back, every one of us is going to die. Hello? That's not negative, and that's not, whoa, Pastor Mike, no, it's the truth. We all are going to die. Guess what? That's not that big a deal for God, because he's got eternity covered. Our daily bread is more than just our physical needs. It's our spiritual needs, and he's provided for me. I'm going to breathe my last breath, and when I breathe my last breath, it's okay. I got a mansion over the hilltop, as the songwriter said. And I'm thankful for that, because it makes all the difference. Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes of the mouth of the Lord. And this brings me to my final point. Somebody say amen. We're wrapping it up. I'm sorry. In all honesty, though, we were late starting the sermon, so it's not all my fault. Okay. Prayers, my first one was prayer is a transfer. We take our stuff to God, and God deposits stuff in our account. My second point was prayer is a test. And my third point perhaps is the most important. Prayer is a transformation. Now, do you remember as Jesus prayed, it was something called the transfiguration? It's kind of weird. Jesus went up and he prayed, and when he prayed, he was transfigured, and the glory of the Lord shone around about him. And then we find out, you know, earlier Moses, and he prayed and he met with God in a place called the tent of meeting. In the tent of meeting. And when he prayed and spent time in God's presence in the tent of meeting, he walked out, and the Bible says his face glowed, and it freaked everybody out. They sent him to blinds.com so he'd cover his face. Okay, they didn't have blinds.com back then. The Bible says he made a curtain and he put a veil up over his face because it freaked everybody out. You know, what a beautiful illustration of what time in God's presence does for us. It transforms us. Okay, so my wife messes with me sometimes, because when I get tired or I get in a hurry or I get nervous, my speech sometimes goes back, and you'll hear me say things like dog or coffee or things like that, because my mom, I was raised in the East Coast, and so we always had those things. And I also have a big Virginia hick accent. It happens, it comes out sometimes. People make fun of me. I don't care. Whatever. I'm weird. I'm okay. I'm comfortable with that. The point is this. When I talk to people, when I talk to people from out east, it comes back. We had a friend named Teresa Drake, who was from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and she was a preacher's kid. You don't get much more southern than that. And she, when we lived around Peoria, she would talk, and she always just talked normal. And then she'd get on the phone, and she'd talk with her, and she'd transform from central Illinoisan accent into, honey, child, sugar, and everything was, oh, you know, this big southern hick drawl thing. And we would just laugh and laugh and laugh. And she'd talk like that for about the next hour, and we'd just laugh about her, you know, hey, sugar, how's it going, you know, things. That's probably not the best analogy, but the truth is, when we spend time in God's presence, your talk is serious. When you spend real time connecting with God's presence, you're going to begin to talk like your Father. You're going to begin to act like you're going to begin to not be freaked out when other people are freaked out. You're going to have less stress, less anxiety, because you know that you've gotten that transfer. You've transferred that stuff to him, and you've taken the peace that passes understanding upon yourself. And that's good news. Man, I want that. Anybody else? So what is the transformation? And here's the 100-point mark. Here's the home run. What is daily bread? Everybody say, finish the sentence. Give us this day our daily bread. One more time. Give us this day our daily bread. What is bread? Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread. You missed it. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your father's, and then, as if, okay, so if you're saying, oh, I don't know if that connects. Oh, yeah, really? Well, it goes back to your fathers ate the manna. He's tying it back into the manna. That's Jesus doing it. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. And then he says, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. You want to know what your daily bread really is? You can say, hey, I need some money in my account. You can say, hey, I need some peace. You can say, hey, I need some answers. You need some direction. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is always there. Jehovah Shalom, he is your peace. Jehovah Nisi, he's your banner. Jehovah Rapha, he's your healer. Rapha, he's your healer. Jehovah Roi, he's your banner. The Lord is all these things. The wonderful counselor. Here's what you need. Not a bunch of stuff. You need God. You need Jesus. This blew my socks off. When I'm praying, give us this day our daily bread, I could water it down to mere physical needs. And there are mere physical needs, and that's great. But I believe it's also something better. What the most important thing I need every day in my life is Jesus. He is my daily bread. He is the word that comes. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, from the mouth of God. See, this is kind of changed my entire perspective, especially when I say give us an hour. It's really messing with me. Because the truth is, when I pray about my needs, I'm focused on my needs. When I pray about my God, and I pray to my God, he is the focus and he takes care of everything else. He is our daily bread. And I believe, as I've told you from the beginning, that prayer is a deepening of our relationship. And brothers and sisters, that's the transformation that I believe God wants to happen. Are we to bring our needs to him? Absolutely. I'm not saying not to. Are we saying that we pray about our... Yeah, pray about your sicknesses. Pray about all those things. But don't forget, the fact is, he is the daily bread. He is the source of everything. Focus on the supplier. Focus on God, our provider. Transfer our needs to him. Understand each day is a test. And let that transform us into his image.